You're listening to The B-Side, a podcast of Blessed Hope Community Church. Hey, this is Malia, your host as usual, and today I'm joined by my co-host, Pastor David.
As usual.
Doesn't need any introduction.
Nope. I think we need a... Well, do we have a jingle?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought we did. I was about to say we need a jingle, but then I was like, we probably do.
Yeah. Already. Listen, we do.
I think we need to come up with lyrics.
Are you going to write a jingle?
Well, no. I don't have that talent level.
Oh, okay.
But
maybe our new hire.
First thing, can you write us
a podcast jingle?
All right.
That could be in the interview.
That's what I was just saying. I'll include that in interview questions on the spot right now.
Yeah.
Give me a podcast jingle.
I like it.
Let's see how.
So it is Faith in Action Week.
Yep.
The sun is shining. We've got, I feel like there's just a lot of life happening in the church because people are in and out
today. Yeah.
And I really like that. It gets kind of lonely here sometimes.
Yeah. Well, no, it has been this morning. I mean,
yeah.
Whenever you're listening to this, it's only 10 o'clock in the morning. And yes, it's been a influx of in and out of people. So yeah, it's awesome. And the weather for Faith in Action sounds absolutely
gorgeous. Yes, 70s. I love it.
I mean, yeah. When Amy told me that a few days ago, I was like, this sounds like it's going to be the greatest, you know, for weather-wise since I've been doing
rain.
It.
No rain, yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's going to be great, which I feel like God has blessed us over the years with pretty phenomenal weather. Mm-hmm. We've had some hot weather here and there, but I think for the most part, it hasn't really been that bad.
It's never been horrible.
And we've never really had to deal with like really bad storms. We've had some rain, but nothing that's totally like ruined our plans.
Yes.
You know,
which, so that would be an answer for anybody's listening on why do we do it so soon in June?
Yeah,
that's why.
Yeah.
I mean, well, one of the reasons is we're not hitting July and August when it's going to be blazing hot.
Exactly.
So
So we just finished the first part of our Revelation series this past Sunday.
Yep.
We're going to take a break.
Take a breather.
Like this Sunday is always a fun one. It's usually a little more laid back because we are kind of recapping Faith in Action. And then you are preaching like a Father's Day sermon, right?
We're
going to
do a one-off.
A standalone sermon.
Yeah, we're still.
Then you are on vacation.
I am on vacation.
We'll have a guest speaker. And then when you come back, we're going to start just a short summer series.
Yeah, about a 5-week.
Okay.
More of a, it's still being worked on, but you know, Revelation's been great. I've loved it.
Yeah.
But I don't want to say it's not like a depressing revelation, but there's some serious,
it's
you know,
heavy.
So yeah, it's a heavy, we've dealt with a lot. So yeah, this summer series being, more focused on, you know, just a, kind of an encouraging, in my brain, I call it like a palate cleanser.
I mean, we're going back to the Old Testament.
We're going, but I love Deuteronomy, dude. And we're not doing a series in Deuteronomy, so I want to clarify that. But I love Deuteronomy; it's like one of my favorite Old Testament books.
Oh, that's cool!
And there's so much encouragement in there. It's like because you got to remember, God's preparing the people. Like you're going to go take the land, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the intention of the series is kind of that rallying, like encouragement of. So that's. Again, I call it a palate cleanser. We've been dealing so much with Revelation. Now it's like, let's take a pause.
Yeah.
Cleanse the palate a little bit, you know.
Yeah. I've been just in my personal time in the Major Prophets, and it's kind of a downer, man.
It can be, yes.
Like, I know there's hope in there. There's always hope in God's word, but it's also kind of a downer. Just a lot of, like...
Which prophet are you in right now?
Well, I've been in Jeremiah. Ooh, yeah. And then I took a break and did Lamentations because I got like a Lamentation study, which, you know, which they go together, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm back in Jeremiah because I, yeah. That's so it's heavy stuff.
Yeah, well, it's depressing.
Yeah. Like I mean, there's like some wild things going on in the city. Yeah. I mean, people are boiling their children.
Yes.
It's like insane.
Yes. Jeremiah to me is one of the great, examples of when we serve God, we have to let go of this idea like it's all going to be roses and cheery, mm-hmm. and like ministry is always going to be this. And that's not to shy yeah. away from it, but Jeremiah had a rough ministry.
Oh, yeah.
And it was not sunshine and rainbows. No. And he mm-mm. was told that from the beginning. And yeah. so he's a great reminder of yeah. don't always think when things are hard mm-hmm. that you're like God's against you. It's like,
yeah, he kind of like, I feel like I see, and maybe I'm really wrong in saying this, but I feel like there's some parallels between Jeremiah and Job mm. a little bit. Like mm-hmm. Jeremiah just has like, it's rough for
the,
him.
It the weeping rough. Prophet, right? That's yeah. what they call him. Yeah. So,
although he never got to get married or have kids.
No. Nope.
You know? Okay. So this really is not a Jeremiah podcast. We just get sidetracked. It's just fun talking Bible. You know, yeah, we like yeah. talking Bible. So, okay. So actually today we are going to be talking about Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5. Those were the last two Sundays we covered mm-hmm. in Revelation. And so I think what's kind of interesting, so Revelation 4 focuses kind of on God the Father mm-hmm. and creation, where Revelation 5 focuses more on God the Son yep. and redemption.
Yep.
So just as I wasn't here for the sermon over Revelation 4, but I did listen to it when I was editing this week. And it's kind of crazy. Like John gets a glimpse of the throne room.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wild. There are precious jewels. There's a green rainbow, yeah, which is like blowing my mind. I've never caught that before. Yeah. Like wild creatures. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, I love this kind of stuff. It's yeah. like,
yeah,
yeah, what it, bad dreams are made of sometimes.
Well, I saw a rendition once of an artist that tried to draw the four creatures the way oh, the Bible describes it.
Yeah.
And it was just horrific.
Yeah.
I mean, with the eyes and like uh-huh. this weird, like, it was nightmarish.
Yes.
You know.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. So verse 2.
Mm-hmm.
This was my first question that I had. Chapter 4, verse 2. At once I was in the spirit capitalized,
mm-hmm.
and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne.
Mm-hmm.
So when it says I was in the spirit,
mm-hmm.
what does that mean?
I will give you the different interpretations, and then a person can decide what they want.
Okay.
Because ultimately, I'm going to say here and say, like, we know exactly.
Right.
There are those that say John, because it says in the spirit, it means that John was having a spiritual experience, an out-of-the-body spiritual experience. You know, so John physically was still on Patmos, but spiritually he was experiencing this in heaven. That could be the case.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, on the other hand, Paul actually says when he refers to his experience of seeing heaven, Paul says, I don't know. I might, you know, I could have been in the body. I could have been not, you know, ultimately the way I interpret it is this. I personally believe that John was raptured into heaven. I believe John had a complete experience in heaven. He was in the body, present in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
When it says in the spirit, you alluded to it. It's capital S.
Yeah.
Speaking of, in my opinion, that's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, you kind of look at the entirety of scripture and it talks about like no flesh can stand before the glory of God. You have that. So when I read that, I interpret it as John had an actual rapture into the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way that happened was by the power of the Spirit of God doing mm-hmm. it for him. Right. Mm-hmm. So I see him giving credit where credit is due. Like sure. I was in the spirit.
So is there some sort of like protection from the spirit? Because, you know, he says yeah. in the Old Testament, you can't look at God.
You can't look and, upon me. Yeah. yeah. I that's how I'm going to, you know, that's how I see yeah. it. But again, I want to be clear. If somebody has a different view of that, it's one of those, I wasn't there, I don't know. But ultimately what I believe it's saying though is John is giving credit where credit is due.
Mm-hmm.
Like this only happened because the power of God yeah. raptured me into the presence of God.
Yeah.
This only happened because the Holy Spirit took me to see these things. So I like that. I think when we nitpick the what exactly happened, sure. we lose the bigger picture of
yeah.
he's giving credit where credit is due.
Okay.
Nobody enters into the presence of God except by the authority and mm-hmm. the power of God.
That makes sense.
And that's how I think that's the most important to me.
Yeah.
Is, you know, it's not like John, I walked in because I got to, you know, it's like, no, it was only by the grace and manifested power of God I got mm-hmm. to have this happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, anyways.
No, I like that. I like that a lot. I know in your sermon you said of the 24 elders that mm-hmm. like because I think there's different camps probably. Mm-hmm. Like some people think they were angelic beings, yep, or whatever. But I liked your explanation, mm-hmm, against it. Like that was really interesting to me. And then I think I also saw where some people think it's like a combination of the 12 tribes, mm-hmm, and 12 apostles. But yeah, that, but overall, I think what it's saying, it's what you said, is representing it's the community. Yeah. So I like that.
And I didn't say this in the sermon, but it was one of the things where if it, because there are those camps that say that, mm-hmm, was the 12 apostles, and then yes, like the 12 patriarchs or however you, right, want to see that. Well, if it was the legitimate 12 apostles, right? Like if it was Peter and Andrew and all that, well, one of them would have been John also. John would have been looking at himself. Yeah. Like John would have been like, hey, there I was. Like I'm one of the 12. You know,
well, that's Instagram worthy.
He doesn't say I saw Peter or I saw.
Yeah.
So that's where I again lean towards. Uh-huh. It's a representation.
Yeah.
Not a legitimate. But I do fall in the camp that I think the 24 is a representation of the totality of, mm-hmm, God's people, Old Testament and New Testament.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah, now, no, that's good. Yeah, that makes sense.
That is something that's interesting. John never said, I looked and saw myself.
Right. Because like, that would be wrong.
Yeah. Out of body experience, even more. Like, yeah, there I was.
Like, a Christmas. Is it a Christmas Carol? Or what's the movie where the. Is it Scrooge? Ebenezer Scrooge. Ebenezer. And he goes back and he gets to look at himself. Yeah. See? Always got to tie it to a movie.
Why not?
Always. It's either a movie or a song.
Don't say a movie. You read the book.
No, I haven't.
See, I'm trying to help you out.
No.
You should have said, I've read Dickens.
No.
And
yeah, right. That is like not on classics. That's not on my TBR.
Okay. I was trying to help.
No, I like to read, but not that kind of stuff. Okay, and so I know that your stance is like you don't want to explain everything. But I read this in my commentary, mm-hmm, about like the creatures.
Uh-huh.
So I'm curious, like, what do you think the purpose of, like the creatures being there is? Like what is God trying to,
the purpose behind them, yeah, or the purpose of what they look like?
The purpose of them being there. Okay. And then like, what do you think God's like, what's being shown about God's character, maybe, by them being there?
I don't know if this is a full answer. So when I think about why they're there, this is interesting. So I believe that these four creatures were created, and they only, because the Bible tells us this, day and night, constantly, they are before the throne of God worshiping. That means that their existence is just to give glory and praise to God. Now, what's interesting about it is we hear that as human beings, and we think, ugh, are you kidding? Like, that would be... Like, we turn that into this, like, because some people have that attitude towards heaven. Like, why would I want to go to heaven if we're just constantly having these worship services before God? If I'm just, mm-hmm, constantly, like, that sounds boring to me.
Yeah. Well, but, there's that song, in heaven there is no beer. That's why we drink it here.
Okay, that took a side.
Heaven's going to be awesome, you guys.
You don't know if there's no beer in heaven.
That's true.
I mean, it might be non-alcoholic.
Yeah,
I don't
know. NA beer.
I'm just saying. But... So I would challenge us to think about their purpose before God, and it speaks to the character of God,
mm-hmm,
is think about it this way. Instead of it seeing as this burden of having to worship God, consider it this way. The Bible, when I said this in the sermon, it talks about them being full of eyes. I don't believe they're full of eyes. Mm-hmm. I don't believe they have eyes all over their body.
Mm-hmm.
That word, as I said in the sermon, also alludes to complete knowledge or unhindered sight.
I read that
right?
Too.
Like unhindered sight. So you're talking about four creatures that from the moment they were created, they have stood in the presence of the unhindered glory of God. Right? Like they have been in the presence of God's ultimate glory. There's no hindrance to it. You know, so like, mm-hmm, Paul talks about us and says, we see in part, we know in part, it's veiled to us. We experience glimmers of God's glory, but we don't experience the fullness of God's glory.
Right.
So picture it this way. These creatures, angels, whatever, I mean, the Bible says creatures, but these angelic beings have never existed in a situation where they have not experienced the full weight of God's glory. And I don't think they're forced to worship because they experience the fullness of God's glory and character.
Mm-hmm.
They are motivated. Like they want, like they can't do anything but worship.
That's so cool.
Like they have to. Not like you're forced. I mean, God's not sitting there going like, come on guys, you know, get the chant going better. Like, God's not forcing them. It's like they can't help it. They can't help but worship God in his glory. So I think that speaks of the ultimate weight of God's glory that we don't even comprehend yet. Mm-hmm. So that's why I see their purpose is there. Like, they just, and what's sad about it is when you think about it, these angels probably represent and again, I didn't want to get it in the sermon because it gets all that people, I think it's great to discuss it, but people get really caught up in details that aren't that important.
Sure.
But you're talking about a hierarchy of angels. The Bible speaks of a hierarchy. You have cherubim, you have seraphim, you have all those. Mm-hmm. These four creatures probably represent a level of angelic authority that Lucifer himself would have been part of. Now, was he one of the creatures? No, I'm just saying.
Right.
Like, he was, the Bible speaks of him as an angel that was in the presence of God mm-hmm. in his glory. And he experienced that, but yet he rejected.
So many side questions right now.
See, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It's like, it's interesting to dive into, but it creates this, it can create a snowstorm.
I've always had so many questions about that. Yeah. But we don't have time for that.
So that's, again, I want to bring it in because sometimes we can read stuff like that and think that they're forced to do what they're doing. Mm-hmm. But when you take Lucifer, it once again shows that there's free will.
Yeah.
And he chose to reject the glory of God, but these living creatures continue to remain in the glory of God. And so it just speaks of the power of that, like mm-hmm. God even giving angelic beings the ability to reject.
Interesting, him. Yeah.
You know, so I think that speaks of mm-hmm. God's character, of the weight of his glory, but also the idea of free will. They're not being forced to be there. Mm-hmm. They choose to because of what they see and experience. So that's a whole nother, you know, glory, sovereignty, free will. That's a whole nother thing.
Oh, yeah.
But then, like, the description of them is interesting. That's the one where I didn't want to get into it on Sunday because mm-hmm. there's so many. There's mm-hmm. just so many. I mean, there have people that, like, the faces represent different aspects of the Gospels. Oh. I've heard the faces represent different aspects of Jesus. That one mm-hmm. I have a hard time with. Not that I don't think there's correlation there, but I didn't want to teach on that one because that chapter 4 is about God the Father, not Jesus. So I feel like, if that's true, that mm-hmm. would be in chapter 5 mm-hmm. with Jesus. This is dealing with
Look
the Father.
Look at you. Preach, David.
Well, you know, you try to know it somewhat what you're talking about. One of them, I didn't share it on Sunday, but I kind of fall into more. Again, it's my opinion. But I think they kind of represent the... They represent the entirety to a point of creation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Meaning you have wild beast, you have domesticated beast, you mm-hmm. have man who is the top of all.
Yep.
You have the eagle, you know, and so I see them representing God's creation mm-hmm. in their appearance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the everything that has breath, praise the Lord. So these are all parts of his creation, have the breath of life in them. So that's where I see is they're connected to mm-hmm. the overall understanding of God's creation.
Yeah, and his creative order. Yes, yeah, for sure. Yeah, because yeah,
then exactly he gets praised for being the creator. So I see them as a reflection of mm-hmm. all of creation.
Yeah.
So
that's perfect.
That's where I fall.
My commentary was saying, like, the ox is the greatest of land animals, the eagle, the greatest creature of the sky, the lion, the greatest of predators, and then the man has dominion over him all. So that it's representing like the fullness of God's creation.
Yeah.
So. And then, like, nailed
that,
it, David.
Well, I'm not against the other people that think, you know, because some people say the same thing. It makes sense. Yeah. But even some of the Jesus stuff, you know, like you think he's the lion, he's the authority, the lion
Absolutely.
Of Judah.
Yeah.
Jesus also came as a servant. So that's where you mm-hmm. have the ox. Mm-hmm. He came as the son of man. You know, and then the eagle, it's kind of like the glorified, you know, you think of a soaring eagle, you know. So, I mean, I'm not saying there's not connection there.
Right.
I go back, I think I said this in the sermon. I think it's fun to speculate, mm-hmm. but at the same time, not doing it so far that you lose the wow factor of God is so much greater than us. And there's something that exists beyond this mm-hmm. that we just kind of sit here in awe of.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay. It's kind of like, don't dive into it so far that you lose the awe. It's kind of like when you learn a magic trick.
Yeah, or when, like, you find out Santa isn't real.
That's what, yeah, like, don't. Wow, if you guys could not see her face in disappointment. in that.
It was very sad.
Know? But I think, you know, not to compare God to a magic trick or something like that.
Or Santa.
But it's like, don't lose the awe factor because you have to know every detail.
Right.
It's like I had a friend that when I was growing up that he loved music, right? Mm-hmm. But he dissected it so much. It's like, you have no joy in music anymore. Like, let there be joy in what's greater than you. And so that's what I would say is, don't get so caught up in details that we lose the wow factor of that's so far beyond us. And someday we'll know.
Yeah. So. I think about like what we'll know, what will be revealed to us when we're with God. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I've read things where it says we're still going to be learning about him too in eternity. Mm-hmm. And so I don't, like, it's just so interesting to me, like, all the cool things we're going to learn and we're going to gain. Like, it's just, that's amazing.
I think that's a great point, because it would be foolish to think that when we enter an eternity, we're going to have this infinity of information download.
So. I think we're going to continually just be blown away.
He's infinite.
Yeah.
Which means if you think infinite, you're never going to know it all anyways.
No, so. Which is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. For someone like me that, like, craves, like, learning and that kind of stuff, like, that just makes me so excited. Okay, so let's move on to Revelation 5. Okay, so why does John weep? Like, is he weeping because he is devastated that there's no one that is worthy to open the scroll? Like, why? What is the cause of his weeping initially?
I believe ultimately, yes, that I would say yes to that. Is I believe he is weeping because John enters into utter hopelessness, because everything that had been promised up until that moment has come crashing down, that it's not going to be completed. It's not going to be fulfilled.
And so he really believes that in that moment.
In that moment.
Okay.
He is. But, and I think God allowed it, or God did it that way, because what I said on Sunday, so if you haven't listened to the sermon, I would encourage you to listen to the sermon, anybody's listening, is I believe John is, remember, John is standing in this position as a representative for us. Mm-hmm. Like, God is allowing him to see this on behalf of us. He has been selected for us. I think John, in that weeping moment, and God had this moment happen, is because, as I said on Sunday, I think John is experiencing the fullness of despair and hopelessness that has come for all of humanity under this curse that we're under. I think John's tears are a representation of all the tears that we have all shed.
Oh, sure.
I think, because it's just this weight
of
the burden, and it's the weight of hopelessness, and it's the weight of the curse. Mm-hmm. I think John is experiencing that for us. There's no hope.
I never thought about it that way. Okay.
So, and I kind of go back to what I was sharing on Sunday about Jesus being our kinsman redeemer. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about redemption all the time, and we talk about, and he has, he's redeemed us, he saved us, but the redemption plan has not been fulfilled. The final is Revelation. This is the last stage of redemption.
Right.
And so John is experiencing the, oh my gosh, we got about halfway there and then it's fallen apart. Like, that's ultimately what he's feeling, is like, what worth is there is the redemption of me if the plan's not going to be fulfilled? And I think sometimes we can feel that same thing. We wrestle with this. We wrestle with this. I know I have my salvation, but then I look at everything around me and I still feel hopelessness. Like, I think John's feeling that. Like, it's never going to end. The curse is never going to be removed. That's what he's feeling. That's what I think he's feeling.
Yeah.
And believe he's feeling.
That's interesting. So. Yeah, that's good. Okay, so probably one of my favorite verses is in chapter 5. Where is it at? Well, it basically says, like, every tribe.
Verse 9.
Tongue and nation. Oh, yeah. Okay. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
I love that picture. Like, so I was on vacation last week, and we went to Chicago because Tyler really wanted to go to Chicago. And everywhere we went, it was just like this inundation of all these beautiful languages being spoken, and just the diversity. That's probably the one thing about Iowa that I wish we had more of, is just the more diversity. And so that was fun. And I think it was really cool for Tyler to experience that too.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is just like one of those things that I look forward to someday in heaven, is like just the unity and the full, like all these people represent God fully. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Individually, you know, it's incomplete. Like together we're like the fullness of his creation. And so, so what does this tell us about the nature of the church, and like how should it shape our missionary activity?
Well, one, I think it should always speak to us that the limited experiences of what we experience and how church functions and what it looks like is not the end all be all of what church should function like and be like. So that's one of the things I always think about when I think about other cultures, and you think about how they do church and how we do church, or like we get this very narrow minded of like the way we do it is the best way.
Yeah.
When we need to open up to the fact that there's multitudes of ways.
There's no right way.
That, it's like this universal, you know, and that's one of the, unfortunately, one of the things of missionary work over the, is it's not to downgrade any missionary work. So I don't want to make that sound this way. But a lot of times missionaries would go into cultures and we weren't just bringing the gospel. We were bringing Western culture into it. And so that there might, I don't want to say that that was all bad. There's probably some benefits that came with that too. Sure. But what ended up happening was it was a mixture of missionary work. It wasn't just that we were trying to bring the gospel. We were bringing our way of life. So that's where sometimes Christianity, I think over time, has been seen as negative.
Sure.
Because of how it's like, well, you destroyed our culture. You took our culture.
Yeah.
And some of it, again, I understand it because they were going into cultures where maybe because pagan pagan worship, you know, and so, you know, maybe those traditions of that culture was, you know, improper worship of false deities and different traditions. So that's naturally going to happen. I'm not saying it's not, but you just see that. So again, I think where it should challenge us is the idea that our idea of Western Midwestern Christianity is just one small sliver of what the church looks like, and not hear that or think about that in a negative way. Right. Like, it's like, I remember very vividly the first time I ever went to a pretty much prominently all black church. I was right out of high school. We were in St. Louis on a mission trip down in the bad part of town, like serving at a church. And I remember attending the service, and I was, here I am, not, but I'm like a farm town, Iowa white boy. Like I'm just, and it was, I remember just sitting there going like, this is insane.
Right?
Right? Like this is crazy. And I had some moments where I'm like, who lets them get away with this?
Yeah. It pops off.
But it's that, you know, that was that, that was that 18 year old. You know, but I think we just have to be open to that and ready for that, that it's not,
man, that's
our
how
way
I
is
felt,
not always the right way.
That's how I felt like growing up in a very traditional Methodist church and then going to a more charismatic, like where they did contemporary music and stuff. Like my eyes were so open. I was like, whoa, I didn't know church could be like this. Yeah. And then I was like, it was hard to go back to the other way because I was like, man, that was like fun.
I remember that too. I remember that too.
So I love having both experiences and like just having a wide variety of church background, because there's so many things about the traditional that I love too, you know? And so just taking both and like there's good and bad for both, really.
It's a learning to mix it all together. Yeah. It's a, you know, cause that's unfortunate too. Just let's take the culture out of it or like, you know, the different races or that, or like nations, but just take that one example of how people can go from a very energetic, charismatic church and then come to a Methodist or a church that's more traditional.
Yeah.
And there can be that judgmental of like, you guys ain't full of life and you guys don't love Jesus. And it's like, well, wait a minute. What, you know, so that's what I'm trying to say. We need to stop putting these labels of judgment. If it's not my tradition or the way I'm used to it, then everything else is like, that's not true. I mean, I know people that go to very, in my, I'm going to say it my way, services that I would find very boring. Honestly, like I would be like very like, all right, I'm not expecting hooping and hollering, but come on. That are extremely devout. And I mean, I have one individual that I know that is a Catholic, and I, I'm not a fan of I mean, I like them. I like the tradition. I'm like, you know, I'll watch that, but that wouldn't be something I want to every. But anytime that
it person, is a beautiful service. Some of their services can be, are so beautiful.
Their traditions are.
Yeah.
There are some amazing things.
Yeah.
But this individual, somebody might look at them and hear that they go to a Catholic church and say, "Well, you don't love Jesus. You know, like you're not
right."
This individual,
and you can't say that.
I've watched them tear up so many times when they talk about Christ or their relationship. That it's just like, don't tell me they don't have a passion for Jesus. So that's.
Yeah.
When you hear that, it's like...
I've teared up at Catholic services because we have family members that are Catholic. And so when their kids are confirmed or take their first communion or whatever, man, it's beautiful. Yeah, and the songs they sing, like, it chokes me up. It's so cool.
Yeah.
And like, even now as an adult, I think like some things that I miss from my Methodist days, like the call and response that we used to do, I actually really like that stuff.
Yeah. I enjoy it also.
So, you know, there's a little bit more of that in me than I thought, I think.
Well, and that's what's actually funny if you, I haven't read an article like this for a while, but about 10 years ago, there was articles coming out that younger generations were actually being pulled more towards those traditional.
That's
because there was there's stability with it. There is a foundation to it.
Yeah.
There's not this all over the place. You know,
willy-nilly.
Yeah, there's like a history to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
And like that stability was big, you know. I actually just went about 2 months ago to a Catholic funeral. And I will be honest, like I sat there during especially the beginning of it, like this is cool. Like there's a lot to it that I was like,
yeah,
I really like this.
It just goes to show, you know, that like, yeah, there's no one right way as long as the word is preached.
Exactly.
And,
exactly. That's why I always, I choke with, I've joked with.
maybe choke too.
Choke too, you know. But that's what, when you think about heaven, you know, there's always that joke, like the Baptists are going to have their area.
Yeah.
No, we won't.
That's
hilarious. But that's always kind of been the joke, right?
Sure,
like I'll hang out with my people. And
yeah.
It's like, no, you won't.
Everyone's going to be your people.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
for an introvert like you, how does that feel?
Well, because I'll be redeemed. I'll be okay. I'll be perfected.
Yes,
I'll be,
that's right.
I'll be, and I believe in teleportation, so I can very quickly poof go someplace else.
But no one's gonna annoy you.
Have a moment
right?
in quiet.
Oh my gosh!
So
that is amazing. So the last thing, what do I have written here? I'm just going to read what I wrote. The fullness of the Old Testament and New Testament saints, all the creatures of the earth, so like the four living creatures that are talked about, and the prayers of saints dead and alive fill the throne room with glory. Like, just that picture is kind of incredible. And like, how beautiful would that have been for John to see? And then it just makes me think like, okay, what is that? What does that mean for worship for us? Like, how should that inform our worship today?
Okay, so I alluded to it a little bit on Sunday. And I don't know who all listens to our podcast. So, you know, be prepared as you're listening to this. One of the things I don't understand in the church is when you have people that don't engage in worship at all.
Right.
And I'm saying that with the utmost amount of grace, because I understand some people have been taught different things, or you know, and again, I said it on Sunday, this is not about having to be the loudest person or hooping hollering or raising your arms or anything like that. But when you look out in a church, any church, and you just see stone-faced, nobody engaging, nobody, like people not singing, not even attempting. I don't get that.
Yeah.
And I've had people look back at me and say, well, yeah, you don't get it because you can sing, you know, you have a nice voice. You can, it's like, that has nothing to do
with
it.
No, I can't
that
sing, guys.
Nothing to do with it.
That doesn't stop me.
Yeah, that's what, it's like, that has nothing to do with it. It's when, and that's why, you know, you look at chapter 5, and I wrestle with this because if you have people that don't even want to worship here, it's like the Bible's clearly saying we will all engage in worship. We will sing.
And this is our safe space to do that.
Yes.
You know, I mean, and I say that like in quotes, our safe space, like where we shouldn't have condemnation or judgment.
No, no.
Yeah.
And so I even say that not as a, it's not like I'm sitting there looking around like who's singing.
Right.
But I have the, I'm usually, I've been up front.
Yeah.
And so this, I'm not just speaking about here. I've dealt with this.
Sure.
In church after church after church. I even had pastors that I know that when they became a pastor, one person in particular that I know, they were a man that never sang. Mm-hmm. And then they became a pastor. And I asked them flat out, how are you going to challenge your church to be a worshiping church if you won't worship yourself?
Wow.
And, you know, we talked about it. And then they've gotten, you know, mm-hmm. they'll sing now, yeah. you know, like they'll get in, you know. But that was my challenge with them. It was mm-hmm. like, how can you stand up in front and challenge your church on the importance of worship mm-hmm. when you won't engage in it yourself?
Yeah.
So I have the benefit of church. I've been in many churches. Of just being up front and seeing it. So it's not like I'm sitting here looking around and making a list of who's not worshiping. But it's kind of heartbreaking to me, honestly, yeah. because that's what I see is we mm-hmm. are going to worship, you know, they sang a new song. Mm-hmm. Like we will sing in the presence of God.
Yeah.
And this is our, as you said, safe space, but this is also our preparation time.
Ooh.
Right. We're yeah. preparing for what is to come.
I like that.
This is practice.
Yes.
Of what is to come, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyways, that's one thing that it kind of stings.
Yeah.
Like, man, mm-hmm. you know, we should want to do it now.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
And what's funny about it also to me, and again, as people hear this, I'm not, but the same individuals that'll say, that's just not my personality. I want to be like, shut up.
Mm-hmm. You hoop and holler over games.
That's what I'm saying. You will yell and you will get all worked up. Or if you go to a concert
yes. of your favorite
yes.
artist.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You will mm-hmm. turn on the radio in the car and you are blasting it and singing along.
Yeah.
You can't say that, mm-hmm. right? And that's not, again, that's not a judgmental statement. It's just, let's just be honest. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest.
Maybe like a cultural conditioning, and I'm thinking especially men.
Oh yeah,
I feel like it probably is more mm-hmm. of an issue for, just they've been conditioned yeah. to not show that mm-hmm. in that way.
Yeah, well, think about it this way: you go back to, and I'm not degrading any other kind of church, but you think about a lot of the churches that are around here. Let's just mm-hmm. speak around here. You mm-hmm. have a lot of churches that are more that traditional,
sure.
more of that. Don't be expressive. Don't. So if you grew up in that, it's very easy. If you grew up in a culture of men not expressing themselves like that, mm-hmm. you just pick it up. You know, you're taught you have to be reserved in church. You can't be, you know, so it's just, I get it. It's, there's also the uncomfortability of it, right? Maybe mm-hmm. I don't know the song. Maybe I don't mm-hmm. want to screw up. Maybe.
Listen, I come in at the wrong time all the time.
I've done it up front.
Sit next to me and you'll be like, okay, I'm not sitting next to her anymore. Yeah.
One of my favorite examples is, I remember there's a guy that I knew from years ago that was a very abusive dad, very mm-hmm. mean man, very, you know, just, and then he got saved. And then I remember you fast forward a couple of years, and I remember going to church service after he was saved and really just growing in his faith. Mm-hmm. And here he is dancing.
That's amazing.
And just singing. And it was in a charismatic church that had the, what's mm-hmm. it called? Is it the shofar? Is that what it's called?
It's the horn.
Oh. Like, so I've been in charismatic churches during the worship. They'll blow on like
that. Did they have flags and stuff?
This one didn't, but I mean, okay. they probably had this like, it was like, it's like a curled, you know, uh-huh. like horn.
Yeah.
Not a brass one. It's like a ancient
thing.
You think
Perry knows how to play that?
He might. I mean, there's no buttons. You just blow and it makes whatever noise comes out. But
maybe
I remember
I could do that.
I remember you could. That's all you gotta do is just blow it in. Okay. But I remember watching him and just watching him dance around mm-hmm. and he had the shofar that Sunday and he's just blowing
wow,
this thing.
That's crazy.
And that's where I'm saying the transformation is mm-hmm. when we allow the Spirit of God to get a hold of us. I'm not saying every man, again, if any man's listening to this that has struggles with worship,
right.
I'm not saying that's the goal.
Right.
I'm not saying you should get to that. I'm not saying that's the point.
At least
but
sing.
That's what I'm saying. Like, allow yourself the freedom to express, mm-hmm. you know, and the whole idea of like, well, I sing in my heart. It's like, let your heart overflow.
Yeah.
You know, let it come out, you know.
The Bible tells us to sing.
Yeah. So, and that's my thing. As I say all this, mm-hmm. I'm not, if anybody's hearing this and getting frustrated, let's just be, at least be honest.
Yeah.
Let's just be honest, you know, on why we might not. Mm-hmm. And I think mm-hmm. it is a lot of the cultural, you know, if I think I sound bad, I'm not going to, mm-hmm. okay, well then start soft.
Yeah.
You know,
that's why we have the music loud so no one can hear us.
Exactly. And anyways.
Yeah.
Well,
I've enjoyed this first part of Revelation. It's been nice to just take our time through it.
Yeah.
that has been really good. And I'm looking forward to getting back to it when we do.
Let's get into those judgments.
Yeah. It'll be so much fun.
I was mapping it out yesterday and I was like, man, there's a lot of awesome, like, grace yeah. in Revelation 2.
Yeah.
It's not all just judgment. Mm-hmm. But as I was mapping it out, I'm like, oh, that'll be a fun sermon. That'll be a fun that's sermon. Awesome. Which they will be, but I'm yeah. like, that's some heavy stuff right there.
So. Yeah. I mean, the Bible, man, it's just heavy.
Yes.
So that's it. We are wrapping up our, I guess we don't really have a podcast season, but kind of.
This is kind of our
hand. So we are taking a break for the summer. I know everyone's so sad.
Sorry, Allie. Just yeah. shout out.
Carolyn.
Yeah. And Mike Lutz.
Yeah. So we're going to take a break. We will be back whenever we pick up our Revelation series. Yeah, we'll get a week or two under our belts, and then we'll pick back up our podcast. So until then.
Yeah. Have a wonderful summer.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking forward to a little bit of a slower summer. So.
And I would just encourage, start reading Revelation now and write your questions and give it to us. Like, you can be preemptively.
Yes. You could help shape the sermons.
Shape the sermons.
All right. Thanks for listening.